Good to be in God's house this morning, worshiping with you guys. I'm so glad that you're here. Before we get into our message, I just want to bring your attention to something. It's kind of small. It's actually this little card right here. And we have a stack of these out on our information table. And what this is, it's just a little card that has all the information about our church. It has our address, time of worship, and it's just something that you can utilize and buy through the church. And so you can just take a stack of them, keep them in your car, keep them wherever. And, you know, there's nothing like having something to hand someone when you invite them to church. So this means we expect you to be inviting people to church, and we're equipping you to do that, okay? So pick some of those up and make use of those, please. Have your Bible. I invite you to turn with me to Matthew chapter 15, and we're going to meet in verse 21 in just a moment. And we're going to be talking today about the determined faith of a mother. Since today is Mother's Day, we certainly want to welcome, honor, celebrate all of our moms. We're so grateful for all that you do for your family, all that you do for our church family. And so we're grateful that you're here. Yet in the midst of the celebration, we understand that this day can be difficult for some of you ladies. And we want to be sensitive to that. We know that there are ladies in our church who desire to be a mom, and that hasn't happened yet. We know there are ladies in our church who didn't have a great relationship with their mother. There are ladies in our church whose moms are no longer here. There are ladies in our church whose children are no longer here. There are ladies in our church who are flying solo, doing the best they can to care for and provide for their kids. So wherever you are this morning, we hope that through God's word you'll find encouragement, hope, and affirmation. As I said, we're going to be talking about the determined faith of a mother. And I believe that all of us, not just the moms, not just the women, but every one of us can learn from this woman's faith. There's instruction, there's encouragement, there's challenge for each of us in this story. So let's get a little background before we read our text. Leading up to the events of today's passage, the Pharisees have been complaining that Jesus' disciples did not wash their hands before they ate. You see, Jewish tradition held that if you didn't wash your hands before you ate, something defiled could enter your body and cause you to be unclean. Well, Jesus tried to explain that it's not what goes into the mouth that makes you unclean, that's what comes out of the mouth, because what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart. He had also tried to tell them that they were so busy holding on to their tradition that they were neglecting God's commands. And we can kind of imagine the scene here. Jesus is concerned for the souls of people. He sees how much they're hurting, how much they are in need of mercy. He and the disciples are busy. They're doing ministry. They're burdened for the people. They're probably physically exhausted. And one of the Pharisees says, "Hey, I noticed that Peter and Andrew didn't wash their hands before they ate." This is another one of those times that I think the God in Jesus took over, because I think the man in Jesus wanted to punch the guy. Well, the hand washing complaint was the last straw for Jesus. What he does next is a clear and concise demonstration of his frustration with Israel. He leaves Jewish territory and enters Gentile territory. Now, for most Jews, they wouldn't even travel through Gentile areas for fear of prejudice and fear, but Jesus intentionally went there. And not only did he go into Gentile territory, he went toward Tyre and Sidon, two cities that were the epitome of Gentile uncleanness, showing just how far he was willing to go into Gentile territory with the message of the gospel. He's such a visual teacher, isn't he? Well, as he travels through this area, he encounters a woman, a determined mother. So let's read our text beginning at verse 21. Then Jesus went out from there and departed to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came from that region and cried out to him, saying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David, my daughter is severely demon-possessed." But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, "Send her away, for she cries out after us." But he answered and said, I was not sent except for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then she came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, it is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs. And she said, yes, Lord. Yet even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from the master's table. Then Jesus answered and said to her, O woman, great is your faith. Let it be to you as you desire. And her daughter was healed from that very hour. Well, we're going to see that some pretty remarkable things happened in this brief encounter between Jesus and this mother. The first thing we're going to notice is that she overcame great obstacles. Verse 21 and 22 again says, Then Jesus went out from there and departed to the region of Tyre and Sidon, and behold, a woman of Canaan came from that region and cried out to him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed. So we see right off the bat that this woman has some things stacked against her in regards to getting to this Jewish rabbi who is a healer. First of all, she was a woman. And we should keep in mind that although Jesus and Paul and others acknowledged and encouraged the value of women in the New Testament, the culture in general did not. In most situations, women were not considered as men's equal. They didn't enjoy the freedoms that men enjoyed. Often they weren't even considered reliable witnesses. In addition to all of that, where was the father? If he was in the picture, why wasn't he there? If he's not in the picture, is she widowed? Is she divorced? Has she ever been married? Possibly more obstacles. Well, the next thing she had to overcome, she was a Gentile. You see, the Jews had a very low opinion of Gentiles. They treated them with great prejudice. This woman was very aware of that. Most likely, she had been the victim of ridicule and discrimination. Well, the third thing she had to overcome was she was a Canaanite. Not only was she a woman, she was a Gentile. Not only was she a Gentile, she was a Canaanite Gentile. You see, of all the Gentile nationalities, the Canaanites were the most despised by the Jews. They were the enemies of the Jewish people in the Old Testament. They were the pagan inhabitants of the Promised Land that Israel was supposed to conquer. So this woman was in the worst possible position she could be in to approach Jesus. Yet in her need, she faced and overcame all of these obstacles in order to get to it. Now there's an illustration about obstacles that's great. It's in the Christian classic book, Pilgrim's Progress. By the way, it's one of the most significant pieces of Christian literature ever written. If you haven't read it, you should read it. But in this book, the main character, Christian, is traveling from the city of destruction to the celestial city. And along the way, he and other pilgrims come across various obstacles that can't be avoided. One such place is called the Slough of Despond. It's a place where pilgrims find themselves sinking in the mire. And depending on the amount of burden they have on their back, can find themselves having a hard time getting out. Well, Christian had this problem until a man named Help, the Holy Spirit, came along and helped pull him out. So as Help is pulling Christian out, Christian asked him, why has this place not been fixed so this journey might be easier and more secure for the pilgrims? And this was Help's response. This place cannot be made, only travel through. The point being that places like these are to be expected. They're going to be burdens. At times our load is going to be heavy. There are going to be obstacles, many that we cannot control, many that we cannot avoid, but we can't allow them to distract or deter us in our journey. You see, faith requires that we make the effort to cross whatever obstacles may stand in our way. When we consider the obstacles that this woman faced, none of them were of her doing. She was born a Gentile woman from Canaan. She had no choice in that. However, when we consider the obstacles we face today, it's different. Typically, we have a choice. So So what are some of the obstacles we face? What are some of the things that keep us from coming to Jesus, hinders us from having a growing relationship with Him? Well, there are lots of them. But I want you to talk about three obstacles that I feel are prevalent in our society. Number one, the demands on our time. Time can be an obstacle. There's only so much of it, right? So many hours in the day. We can't change that. We can, however, determine how we use that time. The fact is, the normal demands of life are pretty much enough to fill up a day. And we throw in the things that we choose to do and what little spare time we have, we often become too busy to do some things we ought to do. It's a struggle. Often worldly things take our attention away from spiritual things. And I know those of you who are regulars might be thinking, well, we've talked about this before. Yes, we've talked about this before, and we're going to continue to talk about this until we get it right. You see, there's some things that most of us have to do with our time. We have to work. We have to take care of our family. But what we often fail to understand is the fact that taking care of our family is more than earning a paycheck. It's more than feeding them, more than clothing them, more than sheltering them. It includes praying for them, teaching them God's word, God's way, which takes time. But often we allow that time to slip away from us, to be filled by other things. The thing is, if we're too busy to come to Jesus for our own spiritual nourishment and to pray with and for our family to keep their name before the throne of God, something has gone horribly wrong.
Yes.
But it can be fixed. We can overcome the demands of our time. Well, the second obstacle we face is the directives of our culture. Now, we'll notice our culture is part of the reason that our time gets away from us. Our culture dictates that we should do all of the things that makes our family happy. Go here, do this, buy this. And we're bad parents if we don't do it. It's so funny to me, as young people, we long to become adults, take control of our lives, getting to a place where we answer to no one, and we end up allowing the culture to dictate our schedule. You see, in our culture, it's normal to be so busy that at the end of the day, we're physically, mentally, and spiritually exhausted. And we take the approach that God will understand. I'm busy doing a lot of good things. It's okay if I don't pray. It's okay if I don't spend time in His Word. You see, the directives of our culture can be an obstacle that keeps us from coming to Jesus, that stifles a growing relationship with Him. But we can overcome it. A third obstacle may be the deceit of our pride. This may be the greatest obstacle of all. For you see, there's nothing worse than a person who's drowning but refuses help, even fights the rescuer. So often we're so proud that we won't admit that we can't do it all. Again, this is driven by the culture we live in. We think we have to juggle all the responsibilities, all the demands that everyone places on us. And we begin to allow the culture and time to dictate what's important. And we feel that we're a failure. We can't do it all. What's that verse in Proverbs 16:18? Pride goeth before destruction. That's what usually ends up happening. But we can overcome the deceit of our pride. As a matter of fact, we can overcome any of these obstacles through determined faith. 1 John 5:4 reads, "For whatever is born of God overcomes the world." And this is a victory that has overcome the world, our faith. You see, nothing the world throws at us. No distraction, no discouragement, no obstacle is any match for our faith. We just have to exercise it. We have to lean on it. We have to trust in it. We have to live it. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, "We walk by faith, not by sight." Now what that means is we don't live according to who the world says we are. We live according to who Jesus says we are. So let's talk about what it was that moved this mother to faith. face and overcome her obstacles and get to Jesus. Well, unfortunately, one thing was desperation. She realized that whatever she was doing wasn't working. She had most likely tried other methods to bring healing to her daughter, and they had failed. It's likely that she had invested much time and money trying to find an answer. Anything to avoid coming to this Jew who went around healing people. But she'd spent all. She was desperate. So now she would turn to Jesus for help. Another motivation, of course, was love. Love for her daughter. Washington Irving once said, the love of a mother is never exhausted. It never changes. It never tires. It endures through all. A mother's love for a child will cause her to overcome any obstacle, right? She loved her daughter so much that she was willing to put her own dignity on the line in order to help her. So what can we learn from this mother regarding the obstacles that come between us and Jesus? I believe one thing we can learn is this. If this mother could overcome all of these obstacles that she had no control over, then surely we can overcome those that we can control. We can overcome the obstacle of time and culture and pride. Secondly, we don't need to wait until we're desperate to turn to Jesus. Matter of fact, we can save ourselves and our family a lot of heartache if we go to Jesus early and often. Yeah. And here's the beautiful thing. When we do overcome those obstacles, we can trust that Jesus is going to be on the other side, waiting for the blessing. Well, once this mother overcame these obstacles, the next thing she does, she cried out for help. Looking at verse 22 through 24. And behold, a woman of Canaan came from that region and cried out to him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David, my daughter is severely demon-possessed. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, send her away, for she cries out after us. But he answered and said, I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. This mother was very persistent, wasn't she? We love that about you, ladies. Now, her persistence was driven by the greatness of her need. Her child was critically ill. She was severely demon-possessed. That means that this possession was evident not only spiritually, but physically and emotionally. Every part of this little girl's being was affected. And this mom had heard that Jesus could heal people, so she determined to find him and get to him. Now, we just talked about all of the obstacles that she had to overcome. Clearly, she's determined. She has the courage to cry out to Jesus for help when she sees him. Well, as the story unfolds, we see three things that could have discouraged her from going any further. First, there was the silence of Jesus. Verse 23 says, but he answered her not a word. Now, it was unusual for Jesus to do this. Typically, he would immediately respond to requests for healing. So the hesitation seems to be intentional. Why is that? I believe there are a couple of reasons. To test her faith. To see if she truly believed that he could make a difference. And I believe to draw her into a deeper relationship with him. Opening her eyes and heart to her individual need, not just the need of her daughter. Well, although Jesus was silent, she patiently persisted. Secondly, there was the impatience of the disciples. Verse 23 continues. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, send her away, for she cries out after her. So it's clear she will not be deterred. She will not be ignored. Now she is following them down the street, still pleading for help. Apparently her persistence is getting louder and louder, to the point that the disciples are asking Jesus, please do what she asked, so she'll be quiet and leave us alone. She would not be discouraged. The silence of Jesus, the impatience of the disciples, did not deter her. Finally, there was the response of Jesus. When he finally acknowledges her, in verse 24, he says, I was not sent except for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. don't believe that's the answer she was hoping for. Sounds pretty harsh, doesn't it? I'm not here to help the Gentiles. I'm here to help the Jews. This would have been enough to send most people packing. Yet she would not be discouraged. Well, I think we can learn a lot from this encounter with Jesus. First, there may be times when we call on him and he is silent. But that doesn't mean he isn't listening. Perhaps he wants to draw us into a deeper relationship with him. Perhaps he wants to test the depth of our faith. And when others are impatient with us, when they try to discourage us, when they try to silence us, as the disciples did, we need to be persistent, not give up. And there will be times when we don't get the answer we hope for. When that happens, we have to trust that the answer Jesus gives us is what's best for us. Well, this mom's determination continues. We see that she overcame obstacles, even intimidations. She cried out for help. Next, we see that she worshiped the Lord. Verse 25 to 27 says, "Then she came and worshiped him, saying, 'Lord, help me.' But he answered and said, 'It is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs.' And she said, 'Yes, Lord, yet even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table.'" So after being told by Jesus that he was sent for the lost sheep of Israel, instead of becoming prideful or jealous or angry, verse 25 says, "Then she came and worshiped him, saying, 'Lord, help me.'" You see, one of the most powerful prayers that we can utter is expressed in those three little words, "Lord, help me." When she said, "Lord," she acknowledged his lordship. When she said, "Help," she admitted her dependence on him. When she said, "Me," she confessed that she needed God personally. She came to the realization that this was no longer about her child. It was about her. This mother finally realized that if she was going to help her daughter, she had to help herself. You see, I think she had good intentions. She really desired help for her child. But I believe she really thought she would just come, get her blessing, and leave. I don't think she anticipated being drawn into a conversation with the healer. But the more she cried out, the more she came to realize that it was time to set all fear, all self-righteousness, all pride aside and truly worship Jesus. Now, when Jesus did not immediately heal her daughter, she could have responded very differently. But she realized that he desired more than a working relationship where we ask him for something and he delivers. Well, after she humbles herself and says, "Lord, help me," Jesus responded with this: "It is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs." I almost bypassed that scripture. tough one. Children refers to Israel. The bread refers to the blessings of God on the Jews. The little dogs refers to the Gentiles. And it may appear that Jesus is insulting her, insulting the Gentiles, but he wasn't. His phrasing, "little dogs," was really an affectionate term. It was an illustration. And she quickly picked up on the illustration, which is exactly what he wanted her to do. Notice she didn't dispute what Jesus said, but pleaded that the Gentiles should receive at least the leftover blessings from God's favor on the Jews. We could paraphrase her reply as, "It's true, we as Gentiles do not sit as children at the table and eat the bread, but even the little pet dogs eat the crumbs from under the table." What a tremendous testimony of faith. I believe this woman knew that a little bit of blessing from Jesus went a long way. She understood that she was not deserving of the blessing. But she was asking for grace and for mercy. She called on the compassion of God that he had promised to all nations. I believe somehow, some way, this Gentile woman had heard the words that God spoke to Abraham in Genesis 12:3, where he said, I will bless those who bless you, I will curse those who curse you, and in you all the families of the earth will be blessed. I think she was holding on to that truth. So why did Jesus put her through all of this? Well, he was simply testing her faith. He desired something more meaningful. Here's the thing. Jesus could have completely ignored her, never breaking his silence. He could have healed her daughter immediately and sent her on her way. But he kept talking to her for a reason. He desired more out of this encounter than a drive-through healing. You see, it can be the same with us. In this fast-paced world we live in, it's really easy to get caught up in the to-go syndrome because we live in a to-go society. If we're not careful, we can take the same attitude with God. And like this mother, we can expect our blessing to go. I'm sure that we all, dads and moms, pray for our children. But how often do we just come and ask for his blessing, for his protection, for his healing, without worshiping? How often do we expect to get our blessing to go without addressing our own struggles and issues? Psalm 46:10 says, be still and know thy God. That's all he desires. He just wants us to slow down. Spend a little time this week worshiping him, learning from him. Those three little words, Lord, help me. Acknowledge his lordship. Admit our dependence on him. Confess our need for him. That's all he's asking. Well, this woman has overcome great obstacles. She's cried out for help. She's worshiped the Lord. As a result of all that, we see that she received her blessing. Verse 28. Then Jesus answered and said to her, O woman, great is your faith. Let it be to you as you desire. And her daughter was healed from that very hour. Finally, after having seen ample proof of this woman's determined faith, Jesus answers her request. Her humility, her persistence, her worship had proven her faith in Jesus. So he acknowledged her faith and assured her that her request had been granted. The scripture tells us that her daughter was healed from that very hour. Her determined faith had paid off. For me, determined faith is sort of like splitting wood. Now, when I split wood, it's rare that I split the log with one swing of the axe. Depending on the type of wood and how long I've been swinging the axe, it can take several licks to get the job done. And there's some relief when that final swing breaks all the way through that log. But you know what? It isn't that final blow that does the job. Usually it's the persistence of many swings. Hitting that log in the same spot, swing after swing, that allows it to break through. Just stay at it. Slow. We often fail to do that. And I wonder sometimes just how many blessings we miss out on. Because we aren't persistent enough. We aren't humble enough. Because we don't take the time to worship God before asking something of him. I wonder how often he has held back blessings to build our faith and we didn't even notice it. How often we give up too quickly just before a breakthrough. Well, this passage should encourage us that when we face and overcome the obstacles that stand between us and Jesus, when we cry out for help in the right way, through humble worship, we will receive a great blessing. Moms, ladies, I want to thank you for your example of determined faith. Amen. For the way we've seen you overcome obstacles. Call on the Lord. to face and overcome any hindrance, any obstacle that's keeping us from having a growing, intimate relationship with Christ. And I promise you that Jesus is waiting for us to cry out to Him, waiting for us to worship, that He might grant us our request. Grant us our request. Let's pray. Father God, what a tremendous blessing it is to be in your house today, to have the opportunity to fellowship with